Cool. Welcome everyone to another Hashtag Ask Jim, which is our Facebook live stream we do on every training. It's come around quick, hasn't it, Jim? It hasn't been too long between the last one. We've got two trainings in February.
Yep.
So it's a fantastic group. It's a very attentive group as well. And they give us our questions. And I just want to run through some things first before everyone. Some big stuff happened. I don't know if you guys saw Jim on the project. Did anyone see Jim on the project last week or any of the media or anything like that? Jim was on the project for 6 minutes, firing up a bit, which is fantastic. You're on Sky News, you're in the paper. We had Haydar with the offer for the Jim's cleaning franchises. We had it, heaps of things. We had news.com.au coverage. We had a national story every day of the week last week, which is fantastic, wasn't it?
Which all helps to keep us before the public and keeps the leads flowing in.
Absolutely. So the project one was a good watch. So all this stuff's on our YouTube channel, which you can do as well. So let's get into it, Jim, as well. We played racquetball today, so we're a bit tired. So we'll see how we go.
Who won, Joel?
Yeah, you won, but I accidentally hit you in the head, and I'm glad you didn't have a red mark on there as well. So I was pretty young.
He tried to knock me out, but didn't succeed.
Yeah, it was not a good moment anyway. I was pretty panicking for a while. All right, cool. So what we're going to do, we've got all your questions here. We've got 70, but as we say to people, just come up and ask Jim anything you like. Anyone who asks Jim a question on the mic, we'll get a prize. So, hey, these beers are worth $25 and they're collector's items. You pretty much get $25 just from coming up to the microphone as well. I'll read out your name first as well. So hopefully you can come up to the mic if you're here. If not, just please kick us off. All right, first one here I'm going to pick out was, okay, this is a good one. Is Pedro from Jim's Mowing here? Pedro. Yep, do you want to come and ask your question, Pedro? Sorry to put you on the mic, mate.
What if I change the question?
You can change it to whatever you like. You don't have to go with what you wrote it down. Ask anything you like.
Well,
ask
follow ups or anything.
Ask anything.
Very free.
Ask anything you like.
I was going to ask you, you're obviously very successful in your business and everything you've achieved. What keeps you inspired to keep going?
Well, I get very involved with my franchisees. That's my kind of emotional. I don't have any business contacts. I don't know any other, you know, CEOs or anything like that. But I'm very relatable to my franchisees. So that's a kind of a motivation. You just feel responsible. That if I say things in the right way this morning, that'll help you to succeed. If I'm available to return your emails or your phone call, I hope you to succeed. And to be blunt, I'm pretty ambitious too. I'm just the kind of person that wants to, I don't know, I just like to do well. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, good.
Good question.
Good, thank good you.
Question. You can ask another one if you want, while you're there. Anything?
What was the question I asked him there?
Highest, the division with the highest income.
Yeah.
Which one has the highest income turnover?
If you're talking about an individual operator working by themselves, something like antennas, skip bins tend to be very, very high earners. But the advantages of businesses like dog wash and mowing and cleaning is that because they're regular clients, it's much easier to build a major business. So probably the absolute top earners would be in those regular mowing, cleaning, dog wash type divisions. But the highest individual operators would be something like diggers too, antennas, those kinds of things.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Which division are you going to be joining, Pedro?
I'm mowing.
Mowing, cool. Yeah.
And mowing's good though. Come on, you can't do better than that.
No, I agree.
you know what I do at the weekend for my hobby? I go out to my farm and I mow lawns with a push mower and I garden. Garden vegetables.
Yeah, good.
That's my fun.
Good man, Pedro. That's how you kick it off, guys. Well done. We always like that. So just jump up to the microphone and ask him anything you like as well. You don't have to be orderly and wait for these questions to be read out. Please interrupt us and ask Jim anything you like as well. Okay, cool. Got a heap of them here, which is fantastic. You mentioned that about your hobby before as well. Where's Camille from Jim's Cleaning? Is he here? Yep. Do you want to ask your question, Camille?
I forgot my question.
All right. I'll read it out. Come up to the microphone. We'll get your face in there. Put you on the spot. It was about the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the future, for the group, for Jim's?
We just want to keep on being better. The software we've got developed, hopefully over the next year or so, which should make a dramatic improvement to our customer service and hopefully to our franchisees' income. So I want to improve. I want to see less complaints. I want to see less franchisees reporting unhappy income. That's my biggest goal, always my biggest aim. If we do that, we'll grow. But growth is a result. Yeah. And I reckon we can go a long way. I mean, we've come a huge amount in the past, 35 years. But we can really go beyond that. We can do much, much better. And IT is a really big clue to that.
How much do you spend every year in IT just for them?
About $5 million a year spent on software development. And we could spend more too. It's hard to get things done fast enough.
And you're saying today you read something in Amazon about they had the same frustration as you, which I found was interesting.
Yeah, there's a lady called that did a job called thing called. She was 13 years at Amazon, and he had the same problem. And they spend like who knows $1 billion a year or something. And she's still waiting for things to be done. It's you never ever can have your IT as good as you'd like.
Good question.
Yeah, cool. I think that's it because I've had.
You go for it. If you've got another one, ask him. Yeah, ask anything. This is for you guys.
Can't think of any now because I think my question was same as Pedro's.
No, that's fine. That's good.
Good man. Thank you very much. Good man. Cool. If you've got a question, guys, just feel free to interrupt up to the mic. Go for it. That's what we want. Fantastic. Good man.
So the question I actually originally asked in here was going from mowing to then branching out in other franchises. How did that actually all come about? And was that your idea? Did somebody approach you?
No, it wasn't my idea at all. The first time we tried to go beyond it, we did cleaning. And because I didn't think the gym's mowing being a gardening brand would work, you know, so for a woman, for example, we called it Sunlight. We put a different brand on it, and it failed. Getting the money back. The two franchises sold, getting the money back, said, sorry, it won't work. Somebody came to me and said, what about gym's cleaning? And after quite a lot of resistance, I agreed to let them have a go in partnership, and it worked. So it wasn't actually my idea. Most divisions don't only come from me, don't come from us. They come from people who come to us. Today, we were talking about hair. Hairdressing. We've got potentially a new divisional over here. Who knows? We told her how what was involved. Not a lot of money, but a lot of time. And that's my phone.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, I'll turn it off. Sorry. Yeah, so you never know.
Yep. And I've got another question, but it's a bit of a two-parter. What's one of the most craziest suggestions that somebody has brought to you as a potential division? And second part, is there a division that you've wanted to add to the business but maybe haven't had a chance to?
Well, when you say the craziest idea?
Like just the most out there.
Well, we had a national conference once where everybody had to come up with a new division. And I think the best one there was Jim's Hitmen. They had the white jumpers with a little black gun on it. So I thought that was pretty, you know, if you want for your problems and we can solve it for you, that sort of stuff.
So, yeah, when you had the problems with the council, that was something you might have...
Yeah, done. Problems with the council, yeah. There we are, Jim's Hitmen, they're on the way.
Did you start that and we just don't know about it?
And what's the other one?
That's what's going to happen if you don't pay your fees on time.
Jim's Hitmen will give you a call.
Jim's debt collectors first. Yeah,
and the other bit was, so apart from the craziest, what's a division you would love to add but maybe you haven't had a chance to or...
Well, I'll tell you what, there's two that we'd love to do. One is driving school.
Yep.
It's an obvious one. It also fits the demographic. Jim's has a very strong appeal to the 15 to 25 age group, which is strange, but we do. If you look at social media, it's probably the strongest. And the other one is hairdressing, actually.
Yep.
It's an obvious one we'd love to do because it's got it's huge. People at hairdressers are very poorly paid on the whole. We can work out if we can treble their income, which we should be able to. And it's also women friendly. And our fastest growing divisions like cleaning, dog wash, laundry are very acceptable to women, you might say.
Nice. Thank you.
And just out of interest, how would you approach Jim's hair?
Do you want me to be honest with you?
Yeah, what would you do?
I haven't got enough left to worry about.
I'll tell you what happened. I was actually at home. I was having a little bit of an epiphany. I was actually in a bad place mentally, and I just turned Facebook on.
Yeah.
And I just believed the signs of God. And next thing you know, Jim's beauty came on Today's show. Yeah. And then I watched the whole segment, and he mentioned his last words were, you know, Jim's hair, and I just went, I can do this. I'm going to approach him because I knew I was coming here.
Yeah.
I thought I'll wait till the opportunity to come in for all my partners. It's for him this weekend. And I thought, I'll just ask the question.
Yeah.
Well, Lizzie's actually had 3 salons and 27 contractors, so she's really well-known in the industry. She's also famous as a hairdresser. She charged $200 an hour, what did you say, today?
For haircut?
Yeah.
Haircut,
$200,
bridal, $1,000.
Good money.
So it's a very experienced, so from our point of view, very, very good potential divisional.
Yeah, he's going to retire.
No pressure.
Yeah.
He's coming to support the diggers.
Yeah.
But we sucked her into here, so you never know what might happen in this place.
Absolutely. Guys, we'll keep going. We've got heaps of questions. We've got around 70, so if you want to get your question answered, please come up here or I might miss it. So just ask, come up to the microphone anytime, as the people have done before. It's really easy. Now, is there one here from where is Suzanne Douglas? This is a good question for Jim. Is Suzanne here from Laundry? No, I'll read it out for real quickly. Jim, personal development. What are your 2 favourite personal development books? Because I know you're big on your audio books. What are the two favourite ones that you recommend for people here?
Atomic Habits, I would thoroughly recommend to anybody. That's just about how you create good habits and how you stick to them. I think it's fantastic. And I like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Stephen Covey, yeah, that's right. So, yeah. I read a lot, actually. I probably on average read about 2 books a week. Read or listen to. I'm always reading, always got in my mind. And I read multiple magazines and all kinds of things. So, yeah, it's always wise. It's always good to have lots of ideas.
Absolutely.
If it's a good book, too, I'll read it twice. I'll read it for once, and then later on, maybe a few months later or a year or two later, I'll read it again.
For sure. If you've got a question, guys, feel free to come up to the mic. Just interrupt us as well if you've got anything as well. So don't miss it. Just jump up. Don't have to ask permission. Just come up anytime. Please feel free to do so. And get yourself on our clips. You'll be on our clips on our TikTok and stuff.
How you doing? Hey, Jim. My name is Mick. I'm joining the Mobile Tyres division of Western Sydney.
Yep.
My question to you is, Emma had said something about you enjoying a bit of history and having an interest in that.
Yes, I do.
And I know you just recently said something about the Roman Empire. But my question to you would be, if you could go back in time, to which era do you take most interest in? For what reason? And if you were in that era, obviously being so successful in the gyms in this era, what do you think you'd be doing? Where do you think you would be?
I go back to Athens.
Good question.
Athens?
In the Golden Age, the age of Pericles, yeah. A bit of hard, a lot of wars going on and stuff, but that was just an amazing period. It's kind of got me interested in the whole business of history back when somebody gave me a copy of the Peloponnesian Wars by Thucydides when I was 14, and it got me hooked ever since.
Jim's catapults?
Well, you know what? If you went back in time, I often have a discussion with my son, my 14-year-old son. When I drive into school, we had the weirdest topics. We were talking about how it would be good to actually merge people and insects and why that would be a good idea.
As you do.
Yeah. But, sorry, what was it get to? Where I think you'd have the biggest, if you were a time traveller, where you probably had the most benefit is understanding hygiene.
Yep.
They just didn't understand germ theory. So people were dying of things like polluted water and stuff. They just
at a younger age.
Simple cleanliness would make so much difference. People in the past lived just stinking, disgusting lives. You know, in medieval cities, or even till quite recently, about 1700, they would just toss your chamberpots out and they'd in the street. Yeah. There'd be a drain, and every now and then it would rain and it would wash it away. But they just lived in filth, and so many of them died. So I think if you went in time and you actually just had a basic ideas of hygiene, and then if you could work out a way for vaccination, like smallpox, if you knew how about cowpox, for example, you could have a tremendous impact. I think that'd be the best thing.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much.
Good question.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it is a good question.
I wrote it down.
Put that down.
Yeah, I'll put it on there for you. Cool. If you've got a question, guys, just come up and ask Jim.
That is a great question.
Cool. All right, and we got one here from, I don't know if Kai from Pool Care is here still. Is Kai here still?
Yep.
Do you remember your question?
Yeah, I think so.
You can say anything.
You've got a great beard there, Kai. You're already halfway.
Well, that's the question. I was going to ask, why did you get rid of your beard? And I think you've been answered that question, you've answered that question before.
It's fine. It's good to ask. We all do.
Look, I grew a beard way back because my fiance at the time liked it. Later, I found myself divorced and single, and the beard was starting to go grey, and I shoved it, cut it off. We men are completely ruled by you women, isn't that? We just live our lives to try and keep you happy. That's it. Yeah. Nothing scientific, nothing business-like. Please the woman in your life. Married 23 years, very happily. Gorgeous wife, very happy. So if you didn't want to grow a beard, no question.
Very good. So I thought of another question because you had to answer that question before, I thought. So you started off with gyms and mowing. If you could go back to where you first started, would you, and with all the other divisions that you got now, would you still start with gyms and mowing go to a different one?
Because I'm a mowing contractor. I've mowed for once 15 years. I understood that business. That's very important. I knew what I was coming to. But if I could go back to the start of gyms, I would do so many things differently, so many mistakes. I didn't understand. I didn't understand the value of meetings. I didn't understand the value of proactive calls. I didn't understand the power of technology. I spent 9 months stuffing around with lawyers. I should have just written any old thing and got good programs done to automate their business. There's just so many things I would do differently. Actually, if you read my book, it's like a catalogue of all the stupid things I've done. Spending money on ventures I shouldn't have gone into. I've done so many dumb things in my life, I tell you.
Yeah, cool.
I often dream about going back in time, but I would never go back more than 14 years because I wouldn't lose any of my children.
Good. Brilliant. Good
man, Kyle, great beard. And we do have a beard. Always bring the beard down. I know you don't like wearing it, but we can put it on for a bit just to, so people will always see if you're the logo. So we'll do one question like that as well. Who's got a question for Jim like that? It's always good for a clip. He doesn't even like me doing it, but I always get him to do it.
It's very itchy.
All right. Cool. All right, next one here is probably, all right, here's a good one. Real targeted question from, I don't know if he's here, from Cleaning. He goes, how can I get more customers in my territory? So how can you get more customers? So if you started as a franchisee day one, what would you do to get more customers in your territory?
I wouldn't knock on doors or do leaflets particularly. One of the things I would do is I go everywhere with my uniform, including going shopping, going for a walk, walking the dog. Every time I saw somebody, I'd just greet them, just say hello, nice weather, whatever. Just keep on talking to people and getting to know people and making contact. Doesn't have to be anything difficult. And I'm a pretty introverted person, but it's not that difficult to actually say a nice greeting to somebody in your uniform and always have business cards with you. Personal.
There you go. You can take that off now, Jim. I always get to do that once.
It's itchy.
It's not the best. It is very itchy, but it makes for a good clip on social media, so we always do it as well. Cool. Anyway, some more questions for Jim, guys. Please feel free to come up and interrupt. Is there any online, Charles, that I'm missing?
What about the smiley lady? When I was talking yesterday morning, she had this beautiful expression. You always look for the one who's really encouraging.
I was really interested in what you were saying.
Yeah, you had this beautiful smile. So
thank you, Jim. My name's Cassie. I am one of your new franchisees out of the Sandgate region of Brisbane. I am a female. And my question to you was, I know that there isn't a lot of female mowing franchisees, but with all the experience that you've had personally and knowing that I am very ambitious and keen to make some really strong headway, what's the one piece of advice that you think I should really take on board?
I think if you love what you do, that's so much of a start. You know something about it? Mowing is, you're right, women are a minority, but you know what? They tend to have the most passionate clients who love them because you don't, let's face it, a guy can go in for mowing because it's a man's job. You go in for, because you love gardens. That's all right?
Yes, yes.
And therefore, if you show that to your clients and you talk to them about what you want to do and you've got such a wonderful personality, I think you'll just find yourself an absolute hit. Listen, the only thing I probably say that you may not do, you might not be tough enough on charging.
Okay.
You've got to know how good you are. You'll probably find your clients love you. Don't be scared to charge a bit more.
Okay. Great advice. Thank you so much. And then, of course, because I am a Star Wars fan, what's your favourite Star Wars movie?
I like the first five, actually.
Oh, just the first five?
First five, yeah. Well, look, I like Star Wars itself. That was the most amazing experience. I can remember seeing it the first time. I love Empire Strikes Back, obviously, which has got a lovely twist to it. But I also love the first three because even though, you know, there's things like Jar Jar Binks we're not all great fans of, but I love the story about how somebody turns to the dark side. I like the story about how Palpatine, who comes across as such a good guy, actually turns into the Galactic Emperor. To me, that's a great story arc, and there's nothing been done since then that really beats that or even equals it.
You didn't like Mandalorian?
No, I don't. I tried it, don't like it. No. I really don't like anything beyond the first five. Sorry about that. They're brilliant films, but they just don't add up lately. Do you like Mandalorian?
Actually, well, I've got stepkids, so, and they are all into it, so I'm sort of forced to like it, I guess. But I think the thing I like the most about Star Wars is that it transports me to a galaxy literally far, far, far away. And I kind of like that idea that there's more out there than just us. So, yeah. But thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. And Joel, I really enjoyed your presentations.
No, thank you. But it'd be great to get you on an interview because we need to get more, you know, I try and do more contact with women mowing franchisees down here. It's very hard. They're very busy. So it'd be great to interview you. If you're doing well, hopefully you're doing well. Then after
I'm
a month
sure
or two.
I'm sure you will, actually. As I said,
we do a podcast with it. So
yeah, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
After 30 days, Jim sends an email to every franchisee.
Okay.
Please respond and he'll forward it on to me. And hopefully you're doing well. So if you're doing well, we'll hopefully get you on the podcast. It'd be great to get more. It's been a big motivation for us to try and get more women involved in mowing. It's a no-brainer for us clients. You have a way more of an advantage, to be honest. Because most of the customers in mowing and gardening are generally more women focused, right? So they prefer, you know, not taking anything away from the blokes, but that's just sometimes when I talk to customers, that's a good way.
It's okay, yeah. I know. Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Well done. Thank you very much. Thank you for that question. But guys, just feel free to come up and ask questions, guys. Just come up to the microphone. Easy as that. You'll get a prize, I guarantee it. Bit of bribes.
Hey, I'm Jim. I'm Anthony. So I'm in the security in Adelaide.
Jim Security.
Yeah, Anthony. Cool. That's good.
Nice to meet you. We're talking about what next for gyms because you're in so many industries. Will there be an Uber gyms? Will you be looking into that?
Uber.
I've thought about it, quite frankly. I really have. Because they take a fantastic cut. See, the whole principle of what we do, they do. They, They take such a large chunk of the drivers, and I honestly can't see why they should. And the way we do things, like I'll give you an example. Jim's Antennas started off. There was a company called Mr. Antennas. They were big, biggest in the country. Yeah. They were taking half the franchisee's income. Wow. We put Jim's Antennas up. We took, and it's a high fee because they get a lot of leads. It's about 12% of their income in fees. Now, we killed Mr. Antennas, not because of the market necessarily, but because they couldn't hold franchisees who prefer Jim's system. So I'd say the same principle I'd love to do with Uber. If we can work out the software, which would be a challenge, I'd love to do it. I'd love to actually have a deal where a franchisee was just paying a certain amount per month, a little bit per lead, equivalent to what most franchises pay, about $750 a month.
Yep.
And they just were able to go out there and make the living themselves.
Yep.
The whole industry is just like a cartel. It's awful. I mean, the taxi industry where you have to have this, you know...
The license thing.
The license thing. So it means that most of the money actually goes to the owner of the license, not the person who's doing the driving. What we like to do is to give the money to the person who's doing the work. And that's how you get the best people.
Yep. And it kind of leads to my next question is, do you have a car collection and do you have your dream car or are you into cars at all? Or
I'm actually notorious for not having... Until November... 2022, my car was worth $10,000. That's about the most expensive car I've ever had.
Yep.
And I actually ended up giving it to one of my sons. Okay. I've never actually sold a car because they're so wrecked, I just throw them away or give them to somebody. But at that time, I bought an electric car because I wanted electric because we've got solar panels. And I love to be able to charge my car during the day from the solar panels instead of on coal. I really believe in that kind of stuff. So I actually have got a new car now, which I really liked.
Okay.
But I'm not into it. I just like safe, and I love not burning coal to make electricity. That's all.
Yep.
I like solar panels is great. You know, the staff here, they have an open option. If you've got an electric car, you can charge your car for free because we've got surplus power coming with solar panels during the day. So it's an actual option anyway. We encourage them all to get electric cars.
Yep. And just one more question. Did you come up with the chant for the adverts, the Jimbo Jimbo?
No.
Like, because as growing up as a kid, that was always stuck in our heads.
Yeah, agency from ages ago, yeah.
You'd be surprised at how little about Jim's actually comes from me. Honestly, that's true. But the general culture, the idea, the passion for customers, franchisees first, being selective about this kind of stuff, that's my personal values. And I'm proud of that, the fact that they're wide, but the actual nitty gritty of how things work, like social media, for example, this guy's been doing it all. Yep. All I do there is answer his questions on camera and stuff, and he handles it everything. Yep. I'm the face, but he's the actual mind behind social media. So that's the same against a lot of the people. I've got fantastic staff. I've got people like Rocky, my COO. I've got John, who's the head of finance. I've got Megan, who's in business. I mean, there's a lot of great people who do so much stuff. A lot of what I do is just talk to them and just float around. I don't do very much. Sort of. But that's one of the reasons I've always got time to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not involved in the running of the business.
Yeah.
I'm actually I do certain things, but mainly my role is communication.
Yeah.
Franchisee with issues. How do we improve things? How do we get better customer service? Dealing with difficult customers. What's happening? What's going wrong? How do you change the system? That's kind of my role.
I think it's great that we can... Like we're investing our money into this and we actually get to meet you and talk to you, and you're not just a picture on the wall and that's like your boss or whatever. Like,
it's great to say,
Well, it's good. You notice during this session, I've actually gone around and talked to people.
Yeah.
I try to say something because if you've met me and you know me, then if you need to talk to me or you've got an idea to improve the business or you've got a new division or anything, no matter what it is, you can pick up the phone or even better email me. Really easy to get my emails and just be in contact with me and get a response.
Yep, cool.
I'll give you some examples of what happens. Jim will, let's say if a franchisee calls him during the day, this used to happen in insurance. It happens with insurance sometimes. If you call, let's say you have a problem with insurance or the claim or whatever, franchisee will call Jim and give him a bit of a serve. What's going on here? Jim will go, right, put him on speaker, walk to the person who's doing insurance and go, what's this about, with the franchisee on the phone? And it'll get sorted generally pretty quickly.
Or if somebody doesn't get an answer from the office, yes. I go straight through. Why haven't we got a response from that? 24 hours working days is how it should happen. Actually, there's a $100 credit if you don't get a response within 24 hours from my office. Some sort of response. It may be, this is what we're going to do about it. You have to get it. You can claim $100.
You don't want to be on the end of that as well.
No, staff don't like to actually get that kind of thing on because it's a bit of a black mark.
Very true. Good questions. Thank you for doing that. Come up and ask any questions, guys. Feel free to do so. I did have one here, though, which Jim will like, I reckon. It's Tom from Diggers here, Mini Diggers. Tom, really good question here. Jim will right up his alley.
G'day, I'm Tom from Adelaide, Diggers. And just everyone loves a holiday. What's your favourite holiday destination?
My farm.
Your farm, yeah.
I go up and dig vegetables on my farm. I find it very difficult to take holidays, I honestly do. You can't work between Christmas and New Year, nothing going on, so I go with my family down to Lawn or somewhere for a few days. I like to see my kids, but basically I'm so waiting to get back to work.
So there's no overseas destinations?
Oh, I hate travel. Yeah. Hate travel, hate planes. I enjoy what I do in my everyday life really, really, really a lot. I don't like holidays. I just don't like them.
Yeah, fair enough.
I actually think during the Commonwealth, during when Oliver Cromwell took over, he tried to outlaw Christmas. I think that was a good idea. That's what I would do.
Not a fan of Christmas. Not a fan of Christmas.
No. A lot of time off and presents and all kinds of... I just want to get back to work. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Very boring man I am.
Very boring but busy man. I did have another question. If you had a superpower... what would you choose as your superpower?
I'd like to be able to actually look to people's minds and find out who's going to be good at what they do.
Yep.
Honestly speaking, if I could shine a light on everybody here and know the 90%+ of you that are going to do well and pick out the ones that weren't, I would not take the people who are likely to fail. That's really hurtful. It really is the thing that upsets me the most when I see somebody fail. The same thing with the office too. I mean, what limits our growth? Quality people. Mm-hmm. I've got some great people, but it takes a long time to find them. If I could actually interview somebody and shine a light, say, okay, he's going to be great. No, no good.
Yeah.
And it's often you can't tell from talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. So that's a good question. I'll put that one down.
Did you have one about the epigenetic stuff as well? Was that you?
That wasn't me. Oh, okay. No. But what do you think of the movie June? Yeah, I know you like Star Wars. Have you seen June?
I'm not a fan of June. I didn't like the book, didn't like the film.
Okay.
No.
Good questions. Thank you very much for that one as well. There's one I thought he asked, but the name's not next to it. So if this is your question, I apologise. Someone's going, I have a very limited understanding of epigenetics, but I believe it means that you can alter someone's DNA to give them different characteristics or trusts. Traits. If this is the traits, sorry, is that your question?
Yeah.
I'll stop and you want to read it out?
I can't remember the rest of it. Keep going.
You sure?
Yep.
All right, cool. And then he goes, if this is the case, then what characteristics and traits do you think are desirable in the world? It's a really good question.
Yeah. Epigenetics is not about changing the genes. Mm. Epigenetics is changing the way the genes function.
Yep.
So if you imagine your gene, your DNA code, it's like a series of little tiny taps that's spitting out a protein. That's how it works. What epigenetics does is it turns the tap off or turns it on.
Yep.
And that's an effective environment. The thing we're interested in this book here is looking at the effects of mild food restriction in particular, because it has very beneficial effects for character. For example, it does things like people might be more less likely to be drug addicts because they think long-term they're better parents. They're less likely to be philanderers. They're more law-abiding. They're more successful economically. There's all kinds of positive benefits to it. What we're trying to do is to actually work out the exact effects on the genes, epigenetics, effects on proteins, hormones, everything else, and then work out how to reverse engineer it. And it's got the potential of making a massive, massive difference, an improvement to human welfare.
Okay, thank you.
Because you're doing it. Sorry, I didn't read it. Your name wasn't on the question. No, sorry about that, because it's a good question. Yep. I wrote it down. But do you want to just maybe talk about what is your next project regarding this thing as well, which I think is pretty exciting?
Which
the population problem? Stuff as well.
Oh, yes. Actually, we're starting off to write a book about birth rate problems. As you know, the birth rate is plunging all over the developed world. Any country with $50,000 per head capita income, annual income, is going down. Some very fast. Places like South Korea, China, Japan, they're basically only having half the babies they need. And to me, it's a crisis. It's a sign of a bigger problem within society. But people think of it in terms of economics, but they're wrong. Because money has nothing to do with it. You know, what is it, some country spending 5% of their GDP, like Hungary or somewhere, to try and persuade people to have more children? It doesn't work. You know, China, they got rid of their one-child policy. First of all, they got rid of it. And now they've got a policy where they want you to have more children. So do you know what happened in all these stages? The birth rate went down. See, people have children because they want to have children. I've got 10 children because I love kids, love being around kids. It's my nature. So if we got this epigenetic change worked out, it would help people to want to have children, to want to be parents. That's the solution. So actually, I'm writing a book, which is probably about a year in the gestation. I'm getting some people in America to help me with that, and we're going to have publicize it very well, and we're going to actually push this research program through that thing. Because a lot of people are concerned. Plunging birth rate's a problem. You've got more and more old people. And some of them are like me, and we're still going to keep on working forever. But you have more and more old duffers around, and less people to support them. It makes more and more difficult to actually have a decent society. So I think having declining population is really bad.
Jim, I'm trying to convince my wife on the third. Do you have any special tips?
I'll give a shout out. What's your wife's name, sorry?
Mick.
Mick?
Yeah.
Do you want to give a message to Mick?
Yeah,
we'll go on camera so you can send it. It's a 34-minute mark if you're going to get it. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Harvey's wife, not me. Harvey, sorry. He's actually Harvey. I see Harvey.
So, how do you persuade your wife to have children? More children, or?
She's told me to.
She what?
She's told me to.
Get go away.
Go away.
Yeah.
You don't want children. Don't want more children.
I want more. I want a third. I'm happy to have four. I've got two at the moment, two baby girls.
There's a book called Selfish Reasons to Have More Kids, actually, which I recommend that you have a look at and see if you can get her to read it too. It talks about being parents. Let me tell you something. Having had multiple children, sometimes they're easier, actually, because they entertain each other. My son, David, I'm going to see tomorrow night with his family and my daughter too. They have one child who's just over a year, and he's a really cute kid, but he's a handful because he wants to be entertained all the time, and they're quite indulgent parents. Now, if he had a couple of younger siblings or older siblings, they play with each other. So it's actually they look after each other, and they become friends, and they fight each other, and they do all the kinds of things too. It's actually having more children is really, it's so fun. It's really, really fun.
What was the book called?
It's called Selfish Reasons to Have More Kids. If you can't find it, just email me, jim@jims.net, and I'll give you the details. Read it yourself too, you'll have some ideas. One of the things he points out that children aren't as much work as people think. That you can spend all this time thinking you have to take them to Lamar's lessons and all this kind of stuff. It has very little effect, actually. If you just enjoy your kids and spend time with them. Like, I'm obviously successful enough man. I drive my son to school and pick him up. And then at that time, which is about a 20-minute drive, we talk about things like, you know, people having insect genes and this kind of stuff. So he's a really interesting kid. Great kid. So it's just so much fun. It really is.
Fun doing it too, yeah.
I love my kids. I miss them being young. They were so great. And teenagers are a bit more difficult. But then when they grow up and they start having families of their own and stuff, and you've got extended family and grandkids and stuff, it's just wonderful. It's the biggest joy there is.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
When this birth rate comes out, book turns out, send me an email. I'll send you a copy of that one too, but that's for you for a while.
Signed with a message in there as well.
Yeah.
Got some comments online real quickly as well. Someone says, where can I buy Jim's Lager? You can't buy this one anymore. This one... Cooper's tried to shut it down, but that's something you only get at training. So become a new franchisee and ask Jim a question, you can get a beer. Simple as that. Another one online real quickly, Jim. If someone's going about doing mobile coffee, I think this guy asked this last week as well, last time. Mobile coffee, Jim's mobile coffee.
Well, we do it. We actually started at one stage. But again, it's the problem with, as we were saying to Lizzie this afternoon, it's a matter of finding somebody who's going to persist with it. This guy just wasn't the right driver for the division. It just all fell apart. We do it. It's probably not as obvious as some others. Not as obvious as driving school or hairdressing or those kind of things, but it's still something we'd like to do.
Another quick one as well who was that?
I'm saying just quickly, those options, what about mobile entertainment? I'm not talking about nightclub things, but like DJs for weddings and parties.
So I've got to repeat that.
That.
Yeah, I've just got to repeat that for people. So mobile entertainment, weddings and parties is the question.
Look, it's a possibility. Again, if we had the right person coming forward, it's probably not as obvious as some because it's very personality-based. You really have to be a DJ. You have to have kind of manner, I would think.
No,
Really?
That's
you have
the
just.
Only thing. I've seen so many people that are just robots and don't think. Well, but they're not good. But that's
not gyms, you see. Our way is to do things well.
The good ones have the personality and can actually connect with the audience.
Well, that's what you want to do. You want to find good people and get them business. Look, I'd do it if I had the right person approaching me. Honestly, it's everything is about who drives the division. The division is the work. I mean, I never thought of the idea of laundry. Never thought about it. But 3 months as of next, he's just reached his 3-year anniversary. He's got 120 franchisees. It's not the most obvious one, but you've got a plausible idea, women-friendly, big-scale, brilliant leader. That's what you need. So I'd do it if I had the right person approach me.
Yeah.
That's why I was really excited to talk to Lizzie. Actually, I talked to him yesterday. Because she's had that background in the industry. She loves what... She's absolutely fanatical about it. She can't
shut her up, actually. She really...
She loves her profession, and she's got a good background in it, too. That, to me, is like a perfect... I said that to Rocky. I said, this woman you've got to meet, she's fantastic. Because she fits those... And it's a big industry.
Doesn't help when Greg talk about it.
I think it's hairdressers, sure. They all natter like anything.
Yeah. Cool, guys. You got a question? Please feel free to come up and ask them for Jim as well. There's some good questions. Just jump up to the microphone. Can we get the microphone? Get yourself on there. It's a good clip for social.
Okay, I'm going to be brave.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to ask a few personal questions.
Okay, go ahead.
What's your favourite music you would listen to if you had time to?
Well, I do listen occasionally. I'm not talking books, but actually it's very Christian music a lot. I like certain kinds of classical music like Brahms and Aaron Copland and Vaughan Williams, those kinds of things. I like Enya, I like ABBA. I mean, I'm not...
ABBA? That's ABBA. A new one.
I'm not hybrid.
What favourite songs are you at Dancing Queen? And one do you like? ABBA. I haven't heard you say ABBA before.
Nah, ABBA's cool. ABBA's
fun. Yeah, that's
I love ABBA. ABBA's cool.
Yeah.
I grew up in ABBA.
Actually, fairly wide range of music, but I don't like heavy rock.
You don't like Metallica or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
What's your favourite cuisine to eat if you had a choice, you had to go to a restaurant?
Oh, lots of things. I like Greek. There you go. I do. There's a place in Croydon that has this really nice...
I was about to ask, is there a great restaurant in Melbourne? What's the best Greek restaurant
in Melbourne?
It's not
a restaurant. It's a place called... It's like a cafe thing. It's called the Meat Palace. It doesn't look anything, but they've got a really nice...
Euros.
Souvlaki with Mediterranean vegetables, like eggplant in it. That's really nice.
Okay. Is that a dish?
No, it's a...
It's a roll. It's called a euros. It's not a... Yeah, it's a euros.
I don't know. It's not a kebab. I'm not Greek. How can I tell?
It's not a kebab.
I just
it's
like
a, it's called a euros.
Right, you... See, I told you she was a rat bag. I'm talking.
Okay.
I like other things too. I like a bit of Asian food and I like a bit of... I like pizza sometimes.
Nice.
I like Japanese. We've got a really nice Japanese restaurant we started going to in Knox. So... lots of stuff.
So when you have time on your own, you've got nothing to do, what's your favourite hobby?
Gardening. I've got this giant vegetable garden. Right. Actually, if anybody wants one, if anybody want a giant zucchini, I've got, for some reason, I don't know why, I planted these things, they come at this size. Nobody can eat a zucchini that size.
Maybe you can give it as a graduation present.
If anybody wants a zucchini, I have got a couple of giant zucchinis, and actually I'm going to give one to my daughter tomorrow night. Mm. So I love gardening. I love getting outside. And just getting out there and digging and weeding and stuff. It's just fun.
That's good. Okay, I'm just going to ask one more question because it's so obvious.
Go for it.
I can see with your merchandise you've got wine and beer. What's your favourite, wine or beer?
I'm a teetotaler as of 50 years.
Okay, just you have to choose one.
I don't drink.
Okay.
I have no idea what even...
If you had to choose one.
I'm not going to tell you how to choose one. They're all bad.
Okay, 50 years.
You know,
back.
Let me tell you something. This is a story about a town, which was a small town newspaper. Really quiet day, very quiet news day. There was nothing going on at all, no news at all. So this reporter says, "What do I do?" The editor said, "Go out and interview this guy. He's known as being the oldest man in the district." So he goes out, talks to this guy, and he says to him, "Important question. Everyone wants to know. What do you? How do you account for your extremely long life?" And he says, the guy says, look, there's one rule, and one rule only that's responsible, and that is that never in all of my life in all my 105 years, have I ever touched a drop of alcohol? And as he was saying this, it was a double-story house. And upstairs, there was this incredible crashing and banging and swearing and stuff going on. And the porter, he said, "What's that?" He said, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's just Dad drunk again."
There you go, Jim's jokes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
But it was quite funny because when we did the beer, we had Channel 10. We actually leaked. Coopers tried to. They sent us a legal letter. And we thought, stuff Coopers. We leaked it to our PR lady. The next thing, Jim's on Channel 10 having to talk about a beer. So he's trying to pour a beer, trying to talk about it. And he's like, "I don't drink beer. If I drank beer, it would be this one." And you're on Channel 10 talking about a beer, and you're pretty much anti-alcohol. So that was quite funny. You're in the Age, in the Herald Sun double page spread, holding up a beer like that, pouring it into the. I think it was the first beer ever poured into a glass, wasn't it? It was quite funny. Yeah.
Sorry, I've got another question. Obviously, you're always giving advice to your new franchisees, but you said you've got 10 children. I've got a couple of children. What is the one thing you really want your children to absorb from you, or the piece of advice that you really hope that they walk away from?
For something I want that them to be them? Good parents. I actually think that is the number one obligation of any human being before anything. There's a wonderful statement that goes, "No other success can compensate for failure in the home." And my next book, the next version of the Jim's book, is going to be called No Other Success. And it's going to start with an anecdote about a guy who bought a franchise so he could spend time with see his kid growing up. That is the number one thing. Honestly, I reckon that a person who becomes a billionaire and has lousy kids is a failure. That's my view. And whereas somebody who lives a very ordinary life, like many of my franchisees, very average life, but is a good father, a good husband, I think they're a success. That's the most important thing of all.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Great question, and thanks for asking it. Guys, if you've got a question, please feel free to ask. I'm definitely not going to get through them all, so just jump up and ask away.
Great question.
It was.
I like that one too.
I'll write that down. Yeah.
Hey, Jim and Joel. My name's Andrew Gelding. My question is, your personal property, Jim, do you use your franchise territory guy to do your lawn and garden care?
I actually have... Not regularly, but I had... If you look at my place, it's just across the road there. There's a lot of planting being done. That was done by one of my gym's guys. He just charged me $75 an hour.
So who does your mowing?
Somebody with a ride-on from Cromford Centre.
VIP or gym's?
Cheeky.
Gym's.
I want it done properly, thank you very much.
That's good. Excellent.
Tony on staff, he does. Perfect. He does the lawns with the rider. He takes no time at all.
Excellent. Thanks, Jim.
But we have people around your house with antennas.
But you know, what I use on my farm to cut the grass there?
What's that?
I use the push mower, which is not powered. It's just one of the old mechanical ones.
Oh, yeah.
I really like the physicality of cutting with a self-powered mower that turns because you push it.
Cool. Very good. Thank you.
Good man, good question. If you've got a question, guys, feel free to come up and ask him as well. Here we go. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for having me. My partner and I just got into the mowing division, and you just mentioned before that there were things, if you could go back in time, that you would do differently. Is there anything in the mowing division that you would have done differently?
Because the things I get involved with are basically to do with every division.
Mm.
Things like meetings, things like proactive calls. Just didn't understand the technology of support. See, people don't, mowing isn't that different really. I mean, you should do what you love. That's the best thing. If you love gardening, if you love being outside, it's great. If you love cars, then car cleaning. If you love dogs, then dog wash. So what you actually do is less important. But what's really important is how you run the business and how we support you in the business. All those things are totally generic. Because it makes people think that we do everything. But in fact, we are one of the most narrowly focused businesses that you could possibly imagine. We're just looking at service industries, individual operators, how you make them successful in an independent service business.
Yeah, no worries. All right, thank you very much.
Good question. Nice new shirts as well.
Yes, they're very
nice and fresh, and I'll get dirty
pretty bright.
You start as well. Guys, jump up and ask a question. Feel free, because we're not going to get through them all on the piece of paper at all. So please come up and ask a question for Jim as well. I've got one here. I've got a couple online, Jim. I just want to get to you real quickly. Robert, who was Roland, who was in training last time, says, "With a lot of Australians doing it tough, what do you think our chance of becoming successful is? I should have asked this question when I did my training a couple of weeks ago." So he's a new franchisee who hasn't started yet.
Well, remarkably good. People are doing it tough, but in actual fact, the service industry is incredibly easy in a sense. To do very, very, very well, because there's so much work and there's such a hunger for good services. I would say it's a lot easier than it was a few decades ago when I started, because it's so easy to find work. People are desperate for service. as you go out there and just do the basic stuff, the returning of phone calls, the turning up on time, pride in your job, just the basic simple things well, you can do extraordinarily well. We'd want to be put down my fellow countrymen, but we're a really fat and lazy country, aren't we? I mean, honestly. I mean, people are just so, they don't want to get their hands dirty. This is one of the things that really annoys me. They want to go to some cushy office job and sit in front of a computer all day, which isn't very healthy anyway. But getting out there and building a fence or mowing a lawn or cleaning all those kind of things too, it's like that's, but you can make so much more money and have such a better lifestyle and flexibility.
And AI can't do it as well.
No.
That's the thing.
Cannot be automated away. It's a fantastic opportunity. If you're the kind of person that doesn't mind, doesn't feel it's beneath you to get your hands dirty. I actually have calloused hands. You can probably see them. And that's because I do so much gardening. I love having calloused hands. I think that's, to me, I always enjoyed it when I was a mine contractor. I love having calluses on my hands. It's and my wife doesn't complain too much. I sort of, when I'm caressing her and stuff. She's kind of used to it, all right? She doesn't object, I assure you. She probably, I do it a bit much. I'm a little bit too handy at times, but that's our problem.
Too much information, that's all good.
But it's a question. Great opportunity. It's a great opportunity, and there's so much. I see the world as bursting with opportunity. There's so many things we'd love to do.
How you going, Jim? I'm Simon. I bought a mowing franchise down Kyneton, which is Bendigo Way.
Yeah.
Your honesty is infectious. Do you believe that has made the success of your brand easier? And is it easy to be so? It's like you're part of us, even though you're a CEO. It never happens. Is that the reason why it's so successful?
Well,
great question.
It's very nice of you to say so. Look, the sad thing is I'm not very good at doing very much. I honestly not. I'm not. I'm pathetic. I don't even do our own social media. I put things in, but this guy handles it. I don't handle the finance. Rocky is a vastly better manager than I could ever be. So I've got staff in about 98% of what you need to run a business. I've got staff who are streets better than me. There's just a couple of things I do all right, and one of them's expressing the values of the company. So I can do that.
That alone makes us just believe in it straight away, because you'd never see a person who's a CEO or even the owner just be so honest. To be sitting here amongst us, it's pretty, pretty powerful. And I'll thank you for it, because it's made my worries not there no more.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm also known as being incredibly tactless too. If you ask my wife, she's actually said, you know, Jim has more faults than the stars in the sky. But and his virtues are few, like the sun. She said, but when the sun comes out, you don't see the stars. There's a lot of things I do. I upset people. I say things that are tactless. It's just my nature. So I'm kind of honest, but I'm also very tactless at times too. Mm. And my family's always having a go at me for saying, why did you say that? Or why did you put people off? Or why did you make that comment? But in certain contexts like this, it actually works quite well. But it's part of my... Everybody's got flip side, you know? Yeah. You're good at something and you're bad at other things.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's a good comment, but we used to, because all the stuff you're talking about now, we never had any vehicle for that until we started doing like the live streams and all that sort of stuff, which is back in 2019.
It does actually work very well on social media, this kind of outspokenness. It just doesn't always work well with kids who are a bit woke and you say something that upsets them, which often happens, I can assure you.
Because 2019 was what happened is there was a lot of bad press around franchising and all the stuff you hear now, I used to hear every day in the office. And we thought, well, why doesn't more people know about this? And I think this is a transparency when a CEO goes on a live stream for an hour and will answer anything you want. You guys have been really nice. And we've had some tough questions in the past and Jim will answer them and that just goes a long way. Well, you see most bank CEOs and that will hide behind or do a pre-recorded video or whatever. So
It's a very important skill too, because people often ask me, you know, am I proud of having 5,000 plus franchisees, biggest franchise chain in the Southern Hemisphere? And I say, there's one thing that I'm most proud of is the values, my peculiar way of looking at business and at franchise in particular, have spread so widely and so successfully. The great majority of my franchisees and franchisors buy into that. And that's the kind of influence that really, it humbles me. I'm very proud of it. Because this we are very strange in this company, the way we think about franchising. Nobody in the world actually has our kind of system where you're constantly giving more power to franchisees or even franchisors too. Often people say, you should do this. And I say, well, actually, you've got more power than I have. If you don't like your franchisor, I can't I can't get rid of your franchisor because you don't like them, because as long as they're fitting the system. But if you don't like your franchisor, you can vote them out. This is unique. It's extraordinary. This whole values, vetoing changes to your own manuals. It's very odd. And these are my values. And generally speaking, widely accepted. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah, good comment, good question. Go, any comments or questions, guys, feel free to come up and ask. We haven't got much time left, but it'd be great to get some more from on the mic as well. We've got heaps here. I'm not going to get through them all. We've got a couple more here. Someone's asked about growing their business with trailers. Is there any extra charges if they want to put on more employees or trailers?
No, absolutely not. No. We encourage it. We really. The only extra, if you pay, because most of your fees are flat fee, you also have a lead fee. If you take a lot of leads and you want to put a lot of people on, you pay more lead fees. But it doesn't usually do anything like double your fees. It just maybe adds 10% to them. So we love it. And to us, it's a great thing too, because you got to think from the point of view, if you've got somebody who's got a lawn mowing or a cleaning business and they're turning over, you know, $1 million a year and they've got all these employees and stuff, they're a fantastic advertisement for the business, because it shows, like Dan that you heard in training this morning, it's a fantastic advertisement for the business, because people know that you can achieve anything. So we actually deliberately, right from the beginning, it was part of the original idea behind Jim's Group, that we would never charge any more fees, no matter how successful a person was, now how many people they put on, now how much they turned over. That was a fundamental concept behind, and it's not common.
Because there's some wild stuff online about there isn't about the fees, isn't there? 30%, 40%.
Yeah.
You take 50% clip.
People take, well, it's like Mr. Antennas, 50%. Mm. You know, our top people would pay a fraction of 1%. It's tiny by comparison. But why do we mind? With the same work to look after somebody who's got 20 employees as somebody who works by themselves. They're no different. In fact, they're probably easier because they're so successful at what they do.
There you go. If you've got a question, guys, feel free to come up and ask. We've got some time, so please jump up.
Yeah. Mike Andy's given a presentation on the pay for work. Was it pay for work?
Yeah, Mike Andy.
Where he gives a portion of the profits back to employees as part of the franchise. Do you think that'll work in the Jim's Mowing for us?
The pay for performance.
Oh, pay for performance.
Yeah, pay for
performance
app. Yeah. You know when Mike had come out, he has a pay for performance app. The more they work, obviously, the more they can earn as a software system.
Yeah, as employees for the franchise.
Yeah, he calls it pay for P.
Who's paying the? I didn't even know about this one.
You would have. So Mike Andy's came out from America. He's a big American lawn guy.
This is the guy with the mowing franchise.
Yeah, the Augusta lawn mowing. Yeah.
So he actually gives them a...
He calls it P4P, which is like his system. He has software. So they know that they have like an app on their phone, and the more they do, the more they get paid profit share from the day. It's all depending on how much they work.
This is the workers, you mean?
Yeah.
This is the employees.
Yeah. So as a franchisee, I'll then go to the workers, here's your base rate, and then they meet all the targets and done really well for the week, and then they get a bonus at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, on top of that.
Oh, I think it's a good idea. We don't have software for it. There are so many things we need software to do probably... We'd love to do it one day and make it possible. Yeah. At the moment, we don't even have software that makes it easy to employ people, for example.
Yeah.
Jim's Jobs is developing. It does a lot of fantastic stuff, but it's a long, long, long way short of what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea down the track of it.
Yeah. Talking about the software, is there $5 million a year, that you think you said you put into it?
Yeah.
Is there a point in time where you just go, I'm not going to develop any further. I'm actually going to invest into something and partner with someone that's already made it and already works, like ServiceMate?
I could be very confident that if you come back in 2 years' time, we'll be spending a lot more than $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Even if we did everything that we imagine we'd like done now, which is probably won't happen in 2 years, we'd still have other things that would be even better. Software is a tremendous asset. It does so many things. If you look at all the stuff we've done, like just one thing, the survey system.
Yeah.
That's been more responsible. That survey system alone and the quality improvements it's brought has been worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars a year. We'd have to spend on advertising to try and equal that. If we could equal the effect of that, it's been so powerful. Mm-hmm. And there are so many brilliant things we could do. I was talking to you about this, I think, on Monday morning, but the idea of being able to book jobs straight into your diary, for example, massively improve your conversion rate, cut your leads down, those kinds of things. Yeah. Ability to be able to sell off surplus clients regular clients, and actually wipe out your fees and then take more local work, that kind of idea.
Yep.
The idea of being able to get paid for leads that you pick up, just put them into the system and get paid for them. There are just so many brilliant things we could do that'll improve. So I believe that software is going to be, I wouldn't be surprised down the track of it, we're spending $10 million a year.
Okay.
Right, good question about them, not the partner. What, like, that's a good question. Why? So partnering with ServiceMate, for example, there are franchisees who use other software and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about, because it's a good question, what was the reasons for not partnering with?
Because they don't do what we want them to do.
Yeah.
We have visions for the program that are way beyond anybody else could possibly imagine.
And I recommend there's an interview with Gerald, a guy called Gerald up in Brisbane. He's been with us for 3 years. I did an interview him the other day. He turns over $1 million. So he's built from zero to $1 million in 3 years.
Yeah.
He talks about how he pays his workers and what he does in his leadership for his region. His name's Gerald Shishelbush. I'm stuffing up his name. He's a really good guy. Probably one of the best interviews we've done. So I'll come out next week on the Mowing podcast, the Jim's Group podcast.
Okay.
I recommend listening to that.
Did Dan talk about his workers too and how he used to motivate them? He used to actually have games with them and stuff in the evening and things. And yeah, so it's being a good boss is a very important part of it. The hardest part of growing your business in gyms is not finding work usually. It's finding good people. That's about 98% of it. Finding good people, holding them, making being a good boss. See, I spend a lot of time, and I talk a lot about franchisees, but it actually applies equally to staff. I wander around the staff, including the call centre, pretty well every day, just chat, see what's going on. Finding out, is there anything that's troubling you? Just trying to keep abreast. Seeing how can we be a better employer? When somebody leaves, why are they leaving? What went wrong? Why couldn't we keep them? How can we improve? Well, that kind of attitude to staff, you've always got to be almost selling your business to your staff as well. What makes them want to work for me? What makes them want to continue? What do they want to achieve? What's their goal in life? It's like Joel started off doing, how many years ago, 12 years ago, doing a very basic admin job. It was a temporary thing. It wasn't even permanent. Doing the most basic thing you could possibly imagine. And he's now one of the top executives in the company, making many times the salary he was in the beginning. I won't say how much. He's grossly overpaid, of course, but still. The point of it is you look to talent. And one of the reasons I knew that Joel was good because he used to work with the insurance, helping the guy in insurance. And when I would go in there and have a chat with him, he'd come up with ideas about ways to improve the website and how he could do this and this and this. He had all these ideas. That's why I got my eye on this guy. Or Megan, who runs a system called Gyms Plus, which sells off the rights to jobs we can't service. It's going to produce probably about $1 million worth of bonuses and stuff for franchisees over the next year, which is going to be amazing stuff, free holidays, all kinds of great goodies we're going to be able to produce from that system. Now, Megan is a single mother, like in her 40s. I gave her a pay rise very early on. It was the first time in her whole life she'd ever got a pay rise. She's now one of my top managers. And she's brilliant at what she does. She's a great leader. She's innovative and stuff. You've got to find people. You've got to know what they're capable of. And if you've got somebody who's a good worker, show them they've got a future. You know, you can be just working by me, or you can be working, you can head a trailer, you can get a share of profits. I'll help you to get your own business. What do they want? Try and work on that. That's really, it's great stuff. Really care about people too. I get upset when people are not happy. I hate people leaving. You know, one of the greatest things we're talking about today is when you get somebody back. You've lost them and you get them back. And that's a real fantastic, like Eugene, who's the head of our IT sort of, you know, networking stuff. We lost him for a while and there was reasons for that. And we got him back. And Eugene is such an asset to the company. He's not the only one.
There's a really good interview of a guy called Mitch Millison. He's got around 8 staff. He talks about it as well. And a lot of franchisees actually find stuff through like people who are neurodivergent. They might be on the autism spectrum. And a lot of franchisees, they swear they're really great workers as well. So not only just maybe look outside the box as well, but Mitch Millington's a really good interview. And the Gerald one, I reckon the two ones, they have really big teams.
Yep.
They've done it in a short amount of time and they just tell everything about their business. So I recommend.
We've got a whole series of good, really good stuff, including that one-day seminar that Dan and others spoke, and also the American guy. We've got a whole lot of stuff about putting a larger business together. Have we got a sort of a list that you can show?
Yeah, so we do have a gym's intranet for franchisees, which is not out yet. But it's new, and all these videos are on the internet.
Yeah, we need something where you can go to. I want to put employees, here's stuff I can watch. We would have days of stuff all about discuss people who are doing this in our kind of industry. We want to encourage it. Not everybody's that ambitious. And we're very happy if you just want to work by yourself and you know, have a lot of spare time for your family. That's fantastic. I mean, because that's what you want. But if you want to grow a major business, if you want to become really wealthy and have lots of employees, and we'll show you how. And we'll help you and we'll give you coaching and advice and you can talk to anybody. People like Dan are very approachable. You've met him, haven't you? He's a very approachable guy.
If franchisees in your region doing what you want to do, you've got to hunt them out and just grab all the knowledge from it.
Go to meetings to find out who's successful. What are they doing? Okay, I'm making $150,000 a year. This guy's making $250,000. What's he doing different? How's he doing it? They'll tell you. I guarantee they'll tell you that. They will really want to help you. And when you're successful, you will want to help people too. So you're making $300,000 a year, and this company coming in who's struggling to make $100,000, and you'll be talking to them about what you did and how you were successful. That's the way it works.
Now, real quickly, Jim, I want to give the shout out to this group. So someone's telling me online, Alistair, saying someone shared this into the Lawn Mowing Contractors Association group. We know are fans of you sometime, and they're saying get Jim to give them a shout out. So this, you know, the Lawn Mowing Contractors Association, it's a massive group.
Yeah.
And when you said all the stuff about independence and gyms and stuff, it went pretty much viral and berserk and caused a lot of conversations in this group. So is anyone part of the Lawn Mowing Contractors Association group here yet? Join it. It's a really good one. It's for all the lawn mowing contractors in Australia. So they're watching now, Jim. Do you want to just tell them how much you love independence and there's no competition? Yeah.
I have enormous respect for any independent in this business. Your chances of being in business for 12 months of an independent cleaning, gardening, that kind of business, your chance of being in business in 12 months' time between 5 and 10%. With us, it's about 88%, which is not 100%, but 88%. But if anybody starts a business by themselves and is able to be successful, I have enormous respect for them. I take my hat up, I say, well done. And I would strongly recommend you join the association. It's great to be part of a group where you can meet together, like we do in our meetings, but meet with people who are like and learn from them and go regularly and support that. It's always important. It's good to learn, and it's also good to be part of a network of support, people who've been through what you're going through. We provide that as part of our system, but if you're not part of gyms, work out how to do it yourself, and that'll increase your chance. Yes. And also, as an independent, there are so much stuff. All of our stuff is available. Everything we've been talking about, you can just see this stuff. It's all public. We don't hide it. You can learn as an independent to do the kind of things that our top guys do. Then maybe down the track a bit, you might want to switch across and come and join us.
They always share some content. It's very sometimes when we see the clips. So yeah, a big shout to the LMCA guys, and thanks for letting me know as well. Anyone got one more question for Jim, guys, before we do the prize? Come up, ask it. Yep. Get your face on camera.
Hey, Jim, again, Mick. So firstly, are you a flat earth or a round earth? Are you a flat earther?
It's a nice one.
Yeah, I have a standard orthodox scientific views about such things. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, I believe the earth is round, and I do believe what goes around comes around, and I heavily believe in karma. And you wanting to do good for so many people, you wanting the best for so many people, and at all levels, you know, it doesn't matter your financial being right up high, you know, I've seen people that are extremely wealthy and people that are extremely poor. Everyone has their own problems at different levels. Do you believe by wanting so much good for so many people, do you think that's helped you in your life or
till
now? Do you believe that, or is that like something?
The nature of gyms is a business that helps people, and that's why it's successful. Why have we got 5,000 plus franchisees? Why have we well overtaken anybody else? Absolutely, yes. But let me tell you something else too. It's not just a matter of worldly success. I'm a great believer in the science of happiness. I read a lot about that kind of thing too. What makes you happy? What makes people happy? It's not what people think. They sort of think if I could have more money and buy a bigger car, better house, have better fancier clothes, go to more expensive restaurants, have expensive, I'll be happy. No, it does not work that way at all. There are certain things that drive happiness. Exercise, time spent outside, in contact with nature. They're the drivers. Social relations, good relations with people around you. And they don't have to be rich and famous. Anybody, your family, your friends, being a part of a community. And it's when you want to spend money, there are ways to spend it. Spending it to try and look better than somebody else is actually a pretty miserable sort of thing, because there's always somebody richer. It does not create happiness. Theodore Roosevelt said the social comparison is a thief of joy. It's very true. Better to spend money on going out occasions. I often go out with friends. Like last night, I was out with some friends at a local pizza joint. We just talked about all kinds of things, politics, arguments, everything.
Yeah, awesome.
But you know the number one thing that makes people happy with money? It's giving it away to a cause that you're involved in. And I'm not talking about somebody what you should do to be, you know, ideally a good person. It's what makes you happy. That is what scientists have found creates happiness. So living a life that's invested in other people, involved and helping other people, is actually, it's not only just good for them, it's good for you.
Yeah, I was once told that the stomach is filled with what you eat and put in your mouth, and the soul is filled with what you give to others. So
yeah, they've done studies that show what makes people happy. They find getting somebody help you, it does actually boost your happiness. But you know what helps even more? You helping somebody else. It actually does boost your mood more.
Yeah.
Which is why this thing about what we do in gyms, which is part of our culture, not just go to meetings and learn from other people, they'll help you. But down the track of it, you do the same thing. And that's very joyful. You find people like Dan love helping them. I love helping. I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, and I think what you just said, I'm going to screw this up, but you said that no success outside of, overcomes the failure of family.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's really going to stick with me.
No other success can compensate for failure in the home is the staying, actually. And it's really true. And it's going to be in my next book.
I appreciate that.
It's a video on Jim's Instagram. So if you need notification, follow him. It's on Instagram. But real quickly, Jim, I just want a great question comment. Real quickly, because I want to show how transparent we are with Jim's. And that's a great comment from the gentleman about the honesty before. Most people would not answer this. We're going to answer it. So Christy's jumped on a customer who's got a service issue. So she says, Jim's pest control has missed termites. It's now a court case, beware. She's gone, strangely enough, 3 months ago, we contacted our lawyer and they said they literally just finished up a case of the same thing. Also, another lawyer we asked before chose the one we did. Also had a case done against Jim's about missing termites. So she's not happy about the missing termites. She's going legal. Do you want to talk to Christy, the customer, online?
Well, we've never had a case in court about anything, really.
Mm.
So it just doesn't happen. It's not true. If we have a genuine case, we'll fix customers up. If there's a real certain case, or even if it's marginal but likely to be the case, we simply fix the issue. We have a thing called a warranty fund, which means even if a franchisee goes and leaves problems behind them, and we've paid out payments of over $100,000 in some cases, so we'll always fix a customer who has a genuine problem. However, if the customer is complaining about something where the franchisee was not at fault, and it's clear they're not at fault, then we don't fix it, because we will not burden the franchisee with something that wasn't their fault in the first place.
And all franchisees have insurance as well, have PI, yeah. PI insurance.
Look, we have people come up with all kinds of things, and they think gyms is a huge, we've got lots of money. Like, you get a person who gets their carpet cleaned, and the carpet's a real ratty mess, and they come out at the end of it and they say, we want you to replace the carpet because your machine did it. Now, we can have experts show that wasn't the case. We didn't wreck their carpet. It was already in a bad condition. They think gyms is big. So people do try and take advantage. When it comes to push to shove, if the franchisee is right, then we will back them. There's a saying that says the customer is always right. I do not believe that. Most of the time, customers are very decent and reasonable. They just need to be satisfied, and we'll do what we can. But sometimes customers try and take advantage.
There you go. So Christy, I don't know where she's gone, but hopefully that answers your question. Cool. All right, Charles, thank you very much for tonight doing the setup as well. It's not an easy job. Now, Jim, your questions, we did write them down, but I've got my chicken scratch there, so I don't know if you're going to read it, but let's have a look. So we're going to pick out the three ones Jim's liking. If you ask Jim a question as well,
come. I like the one about history. Which is my favourite period in history? That was a really good one. Who said that?
That would have been you. You asked a lot of good questions tonight. Yeah, come up, pick what you like.
So you grab any prize.
You pick first pick. All right. First pick. Grab anything you like. There's nothing really to promote having kids or anything on people. Yeah, perfect, cool. Good man.
My second favourite question is yours as well, actually. It was about having more kids. So I can't give you two lots of prizes. Go away. One's another.
One more. Two more.
You're more than welcome to send me the book about having more kids.
Yes, it's
not.
He'll sign it for you, exactly right.
It's not my book. I think the piece of it. Who asked about it? Superpower. Superpowers. Which superpower would you have? Yep. Yeah, that was a great one. I like that one.
That was one. We wrote that down. Yep.
Yeah, you did.
And there was one more. Everyone gets a prize.
What was that question? Yeah,
that was the gentleman here who asked three. That was about June as well, if you like June.
Yeah.
You grab whatever you like.
Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Go for that.
Oh, the question about epigenetics was good too. Who asked that one?
They weren't there to ask it. I asked them on their behalf. But the last one maybe was, I like the comment from the gentleman here. The piece of advice, the honesty one.
Up there. Right. No, that's good.
Sorry, I'm pointing at you, but come up and grab what you like. And anyone who asks me a question, so the gentleman in the Irish shirt as well, and anyone else, this one here, come and see me at the end. You can grab anything as well, if you like as well.
Even if you've asked it for the audience. But
yes,
just
please come up and grab it here. Now, I will advise you as well. Come up now if you want. I will advise you now, if you want to get a photo of Jim, now's a fantastic time. We have a light there as well. I'll take the photo for you. It's a mad rush on Wednesday. It's really rushed and the light's dark. So you've got a light right there if you want a photo. Thank you very much for your time tonight, guys. We appreciate it as well. Thank you.